Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 11, Running Form Part 3, Foot Strike. This is the program and podcast for beginning runners, for people looking to get started running the right way, for people looking to become lifelong runners. If that's you, you're in the right place. Today, we move into the next phase of running form, and that is foot strike. Specifically, we need to talk about how your foot should be striking the ground when you run. We call that the foot plant. Now, if you're listening to this episode, which is number 11, and you haven't listened to number 9 and number 10, please go back and listen to them first, because our study of correct form really needs to progress in logical order. Now, let's get to foot strike. Most new runners never even thought about how their foot strikes the ground. In fact, many long-time runners have never even thought about it, which is a shame because an efficient, painless way to achieve major improvements running in running speed and comfort is to improve the way you land. I want your foot to strike the ground midfoot. That means flat or close to it. We call this midfoot striking. There are several benefits. There is a huge difference between heel striking and landing on your midfoot or forefoot, or barely striking with your heel and then landing on the rest of your foot. There is a big difference. One is bad for your joints and bones, and the other is gentle and makes use of the knee joint to flex and thereby absorb shock. We want to minimize the shock on your bones. Running is a load-bearing exercise, but I want you to have optimal running mechanics to put as little stress on your bones and joints as possible. And I'll insert a related comment here. To that end, it's also critical to keep your muscles as strong and supple as possible, because we want them to operate optimally, and we want them to be strong enough to stabilize the joints. Getting back to foot strike, the two most important things I want you to learn about form as regards the lower part of your body are to keep your center of gravity over your foot, which we discussed last time, and to avoid a blatant heel strike, a heel strike severe enough to cause you to strike with your knee joint locked out. If your heel strikes first, but you're on the flat part of your heel and your foot is almost flat, then it's not a big deal. That's still pretty stable, and that may be natural and fine for you. But you do not want your foot striking the ground heel first at an extreme angle on the back edge of your heel, essentially, the corner of your shoe, with your ankle at an obvious angle. If you land on the pad of your foot, your forefoot, but your foot is nearly flat and your heel touches down a fraction of a second later, this is a good stable landing as well. Right now, right this minute, I want you to stand up if you're sitting. Now, put your foot out in front of you as if you were taking a running step and striking with the heel of your foot. Even if you don't usually do this, I want you to do that just because I'm trying to make a point. So I want you to put the heel out as if you're striking with the heel of your foot, with just the very back edge of your heel touching the ground. Now, keeping your foot at that angle, wiggle it from left to right. That's easy to do, isn't it? It easily rocks back and forth. Is that good or bad? Imagine if you were running, and that's the first part that strikes when you're landing. It's very unstable. Now let's do it a different way. Step out and place that foot flat on the ground. You won't be able to reach as far, but that's not a problem at all, and I'll explain that later. In this situation, you'll see that your foot is solid, very stable, and we like stability. Similarly, many people land on the ball of the foot, their forefoot, and when we look at the way they land in slow motion, we see that they gently tap the ground with their heel before rolling forward again. That's the way it usually is, and toeing off. This is easier on your body, and it's nice and stable as well. It's controlled. As it turns out, human beings were meant to run. Yes, those people who say running is bad for your knees are, in fact, completely incorrect. Sometimes people have knee pain when they run, but it's usually, almost always, due to poor form, or the wrong shoes, or muscle tightness, or muscle imbalance, or muscle weakness, or a previous injury. I can't tell you how often I'm talking to somebody, and this tends to usually be men, and they tell me, well, I have bad knees, I can't run, you know. And when we get to talking, they say, I played football in high school, and I've never been able to run. Well, that's a whole different thing. Then running isn't the problem. It's the injury that they got playing football. Of course, it's possible that somebody can have a biomechanical irregularity that causes a knee problem, but really, this is very rare. I just wish everyone who has pain in their knees when they run would at least try working on improving their form, strengthening their form, and visit a deep tissue massage therapist and chiropractor before just giving up and chalking it up to bad knees. If you run correctly with good form and your body's working correctly, it's fine for your knees if you have healthy knees to start with. In fact, it's actually good for your knees. That's right. I've mentioned this before, probably in this series of podcasts. Dr. James Fries, professor emeritus at Stanford University, did a thorough study. He followed 500 marathon runners from age 50 on for the next 20 years. His purpose was to prove that running would not destroy their knees. At the end of the study, not only did it not destroy their knees, but the running group had had fewer than half the number of knee replacements as the control group. It's a fascinating study, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Now, let's talk about what you need to do to prevent stress on your knees. It's essential that the knee be bent when your foot hits the ground. The knee is a hinge, but it can only work as a hinge if you avoid locking it out. It might as well not be a hinge if you're going to lock out the knee joint, right? And this is how it ties into foot strike. If you land on your midfoot, your knee will be bent. A blatant heel strike requires locking your knee. This causes a whole host of problems. You have bone on bone at the knee joint, and lots of force transferred right up the leg from there all the way to the hip. So this creates not only a problem for the knee, but if you land incorrectly, you may also cause problems for your hips, or maybe for your knees and hips. Blatant heel striking can result in a host of other issues as well. It can contribute to injuries such as shin splints and plantar fasciitis. This is where heel striking can lead to a lot of trouble. Some people think they can't run because it makes their knees hurt. These same people very often, if taught to run with better form, can run with absolutely no pain. If over the next few months, as you go through my program, you start to have discomfort in your knees, please return to this podcast, this episode, and the couple that we just did, or I just did. The very first thing is to review your form to see if you're overstriding or heel striking. Now, I've been talking about the value of striking in such a way as to require a bent knee, but let's take another look at another aspect, another reason to avoid heel striking. When you strike the ground with your heel, it's as if you're applying the brakes. That disrupts a nice fluid running style, slowing down your momentum at that point with every step. Getting accustomed to this form will be easy for some of you because it will be the way that you naturally were doing it or would do it. But for just as many, it will take some practice. Much better to work on this now rather than down the road when you're running several miles every day. Think about leading with your knee and never letting your foot strike the ground in front of your knee. Let me review several main points regarding foot strike. One, when you strike with your midfoot, you almost certainly will have your center of gravity over your foot, which is desirable. Two, it will be much more stable. Three, when you land on your midfoot, you will have a bent knee. This is huge. Number four, striking with the heel is a braking motion that should be avoided. Now, if you are feeling like you're getting some good information out of this podcast, then I'm asking you to do me a huge favor and go to iTunes and give this podcast a review. You can just click on a number of stars, or you can actually write a couple of sentences. Either way, it's tremendously appreciated, and this is basically the only way this podcast will move up in the rankings, and that's something that you can do for me. This podcast is free. Moving it up in the rankings is extremely helpful, and that's all I ask. If you have any questions, please go to the Beginner Runner Village Facebook page. That's a perfect place where you can make a comment, ask a question. I usually respond within a matter of hours, sometimes within a matter of minutes, because I check that page several times a day. Now, here's your homework for today. I want you to get a special app for your phone, for your smartphone. It's called Coach's Eye, C-O-A-C-H apostrophe S-I-E-Y-E. It allows you to record or have somebody else record video of you running, or it could be video of anything. You could use it to take a video of your daughter playing softball, her softball swing, and then analyze that. But what I want you to do is download that and then have somebody else take a video of you running. It can just be 10 or 20 steps. Have them take a picture from the front and take a picture from the side, or take a video from the front and the side. This will be hugely beneficial for you to see how your foot is striking the ground, how you're carrying your shoulders, where your head is in relation to your body, whether you're leaning, how you're holding your arms, whether you're pulling back your elbow enough, how you're holding your hands. So often people think they're doing something, but then when they see themselves, they discover, oops, I'm not doing it that way at all. I'll give you an example. Well, I used to be a swim coach, and one of the things when I was working with backstrokers is they would tend to, when they would bring their arm out of the water, they'd lead with their elbow and have their arm bent as they bring it up. Well, when you do backstroke, it should be locked out when you bring, so it's basically the opposite of what I'm telling you to do with running. But my point is, we got a new video camera. This is 20 years ago when video cameras were a big deal, and I had my husband shoot video of me swimming backstroke from one end of the pool to the other, and I discovered I was doing it exactly the way my students were doing it, which was the wrong way. So it's just funny that I knew that, but yet when I did it, I was doing that, and I didn't realize it. And that helped me as a coach working with my swimmers, because I realized they couldn't feel it. Sometimes they just didn't realize what they were doing. And at that time, I thought, wow, this is going to be a huge help, because now I can video my runners and show them exactly what they're doing. And so by the same token, you may think you're doing something with your running, but in fact, seeing yourself might help tremendously for you to get the right form. And one of the things I like, I know most everybody can shoot video with their smartphone, but this particular app allows you to slow it down a lot. You can even slow it to the point to where you can actually take your finger, put it on the screen, and go back and forth, so you can see yourself taking a step and then going back, and taking a step and going back, so you can watch it really, really closely and see exactly where your foot is hitting the ground. And I think you'll really enjoy seeing that. And honestly, if you have kids that play sports, it might be helpful for you to actually help them with their sport I think always it helps to see yourself. So anyway, that's your homework. I don't know what that app costs. I actually think I got it for free. If I know you can get it for iPhones. I have an iPhone. I'm pretty sure there's either you can get it for Androids, or you can probably get something else similar to it. If you can't, then just use your camera video on your phone. And that's certainly still very helpful. Now, here's today's quote. This quote is from Wanda Alvirio, a good friend of mine. She's an amazing lady who started my program when she was about 50, before she could even run a 5K. And now she's done many half marathons, and she just keeps improving. I'm proud to say Wanda has always trained the smart way, not trying to do too much too fast, but just sticking with it and gradually getting stronger and stronger. She just did a 16-mile off-road race on strenuous hilly trails. The other day, Wanda said to another runner, "There's no such thing as not having the body for running." That's today's quote. She couldn't be more correct. Now, Wanda is an experienced runner and an ambassador for the benefits of running and of training wisely. She's a registered dietitian and a member of a diabetes education team at a local hospital. Wanda knows the value of getting fit and staying fit, but she also knows the value of going about it in a sensible, careful way.